Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's passage, we learn about the Great White Throne Judgment. This is where the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sits and judges the unrighteous. This is Judgment Day. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 20 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola tells us more about Jesus, the righteous judge, as he completes his study of verses 7 through 15.
My friend, hell is not a party. It's a place of torment. I want to read to you. Pretty lengthy, but I've got 3 weeks to make up. So, and since I've got the microphone and you don't, and the ushers have locked the door, you can't go anywhere. So you're going to listen to this. Jesus said, remember, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Listen to this. Satan's empire is bounded by this little spot of time. This mock king acts the part of a prince, but when Christ comes at the end of the world, Satan shall be degraded, his crown taken off, his sword broken over his head, and he shall be hissed off with scorn and shame as a prisoner into hell. No more will he infest the saints, but lie with the wicked under the immediate execution of God's wrath. He is already cast out, and his doom has been sentenced. He knows it. Trembling, he asked Christ why he came to torment him before his time. This is bad news for the wicked. Their prince cannot sit long on his throne. Sinners now may have a merry time of it and rejoice while Christ's disciples weep and mourn. Sinners may rustle in their silks while the saints wear rags. It is strange to see Satan carry sinners after him with this golden hook. He baits them with honor, property, or pleasure, and their hearts skip after it like a dog after a crust of bread. Oh, the naughty heart of man that loves the wages of unrighteousness that the devil promises but fears not the wrath of God. He is like the spaniel that leaps into the river for a bone only to get a mouthful of water. Sinners swim through the threatenings of God's word to get to their forbidden pleasures. They resolve to have them, and by doing so, they fall into the devil's snare and are led into those foolish and hurtful lusts that drown them in destruction and perdition. Yea, the bragging prince tells you what he will give you, but he himself goes down. Oh, says the sinner, the pleasures and honors that sin and Satan offer are present, and promises of Christ we have to wait for. This deception is that which takes many down. It is a vile wretch who loses a future reward to join the devil for present pay. Oh, what desperate madness it is to accept the wrath of God for the joys that last but for a moment. How true. This isn't a game. We didn't come here to play church, did we? We came here to hear the truth of God. That our lives would be altered by God's truth. And from verses 11 through verses 15, we are going to now go to a place called the Great White Throne Judgment. And we see that only one sits on the throne. Only one. There is only one sovereign, almighty God of the entire universe. Isn't that awesome? Only one. Matthew 25:41 tells us that Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of his glory, a white throne. The color white speaks of supreme, undimmed display of his perfection, his holiness, his justice, his purity. And because of this character of God, no human being, No human being can stand in his presence apart from the imputed righteousness of God, which is given to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Mark it down. All who appear at the great white throne shall be damned. They don't hear any singing. They don't see any cherubim. This is complete finality. This is closure to human history. The king puts down his gavel and says, "Depart from me, you ever." Forever to everlasting fire. This is not some fairy tale. This is not some Hollywood movie. This is truth. This is reality. And from his presence, the heaven and the earth fade away. You know, the world uses biblical terms, but they just don't use biblical definitions. Ever hear of the Big Bang Theory? Ever hear of it? Big Bang? Well, it's a biblical term. It's not found in with those words. This is when the Big Bang happens. After the great white throne judgment. Prior to the new heaven and new earth. And at the great white throne judgment, John sees the dead, small and great. You see, humanly speaking, we have our caste system. Not just in India, we have it all over the world. The who's who, the wealthy, the prominent, the intellectia, you know, all of that. We have our caste. We're impressed. We're impressed by wealth. We're impressed by degrees. God's not impressed by any of that. At the great white throne judgment, you could be an unregenerate king or you could be a pauper. Makes no difference what your lot was in this life. They stand before God and the books are open. And another book, which is the book of life, which seems to indicate that the church will be there witnessing this somehow. But I want us to focus on the books that are being opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Wow. Now, eternal judgment and the resurrection from the dead, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, are two of the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. And those who stand at the great, come before God at the great white throne judgment will be judged according to their works. They're going to have it the way they've always wanted it. How? Ever witness to somebody the gospel of the grace of God, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, apart from works, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works like any man should boast. And then they give you this song and dance, don't you? You've probably heard the song and you probably know the dance by now. Well, I'm a good person. I try my best. I'm as good as this guy at church or that guy at church or that gal. And they give you that whole spiel about how good they are. Mark it down, beloved, that at the great white throne judgment, all who have rejected Christ Jesus as Lord will be judged according to their own works and will perish forever. You know, America is a pretty interesting country. The longer I live on this earth and travel abroad, we are a strange country. I'm thankful to live here, but we're a strange country. You know, according to a recent poll, 85% of Americans believe they're going to heaven. 85%. 85% believe they're going to heaven, but 67% don't believe in heaven or hell. We can't even do the math right. The dead, small and great, will be raised from the grave and from the sea to be judged either by their deeds recorded in the books or by God's gracious registration of their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. What are in these books? Books recording the deeds of the unregenerate will be opened. That will provide the grounds upon which they are judged. The books of the law. You know those people that say to you and me, "Well, I'm going to heaven. I've never murdered anybody." Ever heard that? "I've never committed adultery." So I ask them, have you always honored your father and mother? "Well, most of the time." Well, most of the time doesn't cut it. Ever covet? What's that? This is a big biblical word. What does it mean? I mean, you ever desire something that is not yours? Something that belongs to your neighbor, their house, their boat, their bike, their wife, their husband? Well, you're out. You're disqualified. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. That's what the judge says. Then there's a book of idle words. Matthew 12, 36 and 37 talks about words, a book recording all of our words. Can you imagine? Every phone call, every text message, every email message, every post, every tweet, every twixt, whatever's out there now. I don't know. I'm getting tweets, twixts, and everything. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that every word. I am so grateful for the grace of God this morning through Jesus Christ. I am so grateful for the provision of Christ's grace. You think a computer can keep records? How about God? He keeps an accurate record of every human deed and will reward and punish with perfect justice. There's only one erase button for your sin and my sin. That's the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Mount Calvary. That's the only thing that takes away our sin. When men reject the knowledge of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they by default have determined to stand before God on their own merit or in their own righteousness. And may it be known today that the record is clear. None, none, none go to heaven. Not a single soul. All of the deeds of unregenerate man, good and bad. When these books are opened, it will demonstrate the truth of Romans 3:23. That they fall short of God's righteousness. And because of that, they have no basis upon which to stand accepted or justified before God. And this proves once again this morning, in this hour of God's grace, that sinners like you and me are unable to earn our own salvation. We need the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. Great White Throne will be nothing like our modern court cases. There will be a judge, but no jury, a prosecutor, but no defense attorney, a sentence, but no appeal. That's it. Finality. Closure. If these scriptures catch your breath, they ought to. It's sobering. This is forever, saints. So what happened to the sin of those who have trusted in Christ? Are we not sinners? I am more convinced today than I was yesterday that I am a sinful, wretched, evil, wicked man by nature. I know by God's grace that my only hope of forgiveness of sin is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross for my sin, his burial, his resurrection. And what happens to your sin and my sin? The Bible says that on the cross, Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. Amen and amen and amen and amen for the grace of God. But you know, we will stand before God, the great white, the judgment seat. Salvation is not going to be the issue for you and me as a child of God. What is going to be the issue? Stewardship. God gives us a measure amount of time, opportunity, talents. And he says, now that I've bought you with a price, I want you to use your life and the talents that I've given to you to serve me, to bring me glory, to bring me honor. That's why we've been redeemed now. To live for Christ, to live for the King, to bring him glory, to bring him honor. God does not redeem us to be lazy. He doesn't redeem us to be indifferent. He redeemed us to occupy until he comes. He redeemed our homes to be a place where he rules and reigns. He established his church to be a place where he rules and he reigns. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, the Bible says. That's how we serve God, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Notice in verse 13 and 14 and 15. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Some people would say to you and me, there is no way that you can know whether you're going to heaven or not. This disproves it. This is a prophecy. And remember the first chapter? God says that we'll be blessed if we read and heed what God says. God's telling you in advance and me in advance that we can know where we are spending eternity. He says if your name is in the book of life, then you will spend eternity with me. So, well, how can you know? Remember in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, there's two women, Eudeus and Syntyche. They're having a conflict with one another. Can you imagine people going to a church having a conflict with one another? It never happens here. Bah! All the time! Conflict! That's what we are. We're walking conflicts. But their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can know today. You can know today. Your name is either in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you will be judged according to the way you've always wanted it. But there will be no speech to give God. You're not going to stand before a holy God and say, well, I was a good person. I meant well. I tried hard. I went to church. I gave a whole bunch of money. That's filthy rags. You need God's righteousness. Notice that when non-believers die and go before the great white throne of judgment, they go to Hades. But Hades is not the final judgment. Much like the holding cell for a death row inmate is not the final step. Execution is. What is the final resting place? The second death. The lake of fire. Terms used to describe the eternal state of the wicked, and it's forever. Some are trying to sell a doctrine that hell is not real. Don't believe it. Some are trying to sell a doctrine of annihilation, that you just go into this place of nothingness. That is not real. Hell is forever. Eternal torment is not a popular doctrine, but it's a biblical one. Jesus gave a teaching, not a parable, because in parables, personal names are not mentioned. In Luke 16, about a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. Lazarus, poor, walking around in rags, but he had faith in God. When he died, the angels took him into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, unnamed, no doubt prominent, no doubt maybe on the who's list of his day. He didn't believe in God, and he ends up in hell. And in torment, he cries for just a drop of water to bring some kind of relief, but there was no relief in hell. And then he said with all of his heart, I have five brothers that are still alive. Go send someone to them to preach the word of God. They don't want to come to this place. It's no party, my friend. And then Jesus said, if they will not believe the law and the prophets, they won't believe the word of God. Neither will they believe if one rose from the dead. Proverbs 13 says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. It's not popular, but it's biblical, isn't it? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No other verse in the entire Bible should cause us to flee to God's wrath and run into the saving arms of his grace and forgiveness through Christ, as verse 15 does. Since being in the book of life is the only way of escaping the second death, you and I want to make sure that our name is in the book of life. You want to make sure, don't you? How does that happen? Well, there's some conditions. First condition, you've got to be a sinner. You've got that nailed. So do I. You've got to be a lost, wretched, depraved sinner. We qualify. That's the first time I've ever heard a yay for a sad. But anyways, secondly, you've got to realize that you and I cannot save ourselves. Joining a church can't save you. Doing your best can't save you. It couldn't save Cornelius. It couldn't save Nicodemus. It couldn't save Saul. It can't save you. It can't save me. We have no hope whatsoever. In steps Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, to die on the cross for our sin, that we, by God's grace, through faith, may have in him eternal life. life. So how do you get in? You repent of your sin. You confess Jesus as Lord. And as it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you yield your life to Him as a living sacrifice. It's an acknowledgement. The price has been paid. And it's living for the Lordship of Jesus. But it's not just saying Jesus is Lord. It's not some confession. Okay, you've convinced me, Pastor Ray. I'll come forward. I'll pray. Jesus is Lord. Give me my get free out of hell card. It's not that. It has to be a true confession from the heart. It has to be a true confession that is bringing forth progressive, visible fruit of abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus tells us that on this day, many will come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do many wonderful works? And He will say, I never knew you. One of the incredible things is the amount of wonderful things that can be done in the name of the Lord by people who do not know the Lord. I never knew you. There was never a relationship. There was never intimacy. I never knew you. And they will not challenge that. Do you know Him? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you don't intend to do the things that I command you. You see, Lord is not His name. It's His title. That's who He is. I don't make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. I receive Him as Lord. I made Him the Lord of my life. No, you didn't. He is Lord. And you, by God's grace, step into the reality. You are Lord. I am now your servant. Bought with a price. And as imperfect as I will be until you call me home, Lord, my desire is to live for you and to do your will. And so, my friends, in closing, which book is your name in? Name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it is, you know it. Don't you? Amen? Yes. You know it. These things have I written to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, that you might know, that you might know. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have eternal life? And it's not because of what we've done. Because of what Christ has done for us. Salvation is God's work. We receive it by grace through faith. It's done. Amen. But if it's not the throne of grace, then it's the great white throne. And my friend, you'll be standing there alone. Your buddies won't be with you. Your spouse won't be with you. Your parents won't be with you. Your co-workers won't be with you. It's just you. And Almighty God. And you will not have a leg to stand on. So why does God prophesy about this judgment? I believe because as Jesus looked at the multitudes, what was His attitude? He was moved with compassion. And He's moved with compassion this morning towards you and towards me. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And today, you can know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray that the Spirit of God would open your heart and open your eyes to the truth of Calvary, and that you will toss aside your filthy rags of self-righteousness, and you will receive the righteousness that is imputed to you by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy name.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.